Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, community radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson is in town today for a press conference calling for a real response to the fatal shooting of unarmed Aaron Campbell.
In Washington State, clashing tax protests entertained legislators in Olympia.
And President Barack Obama has nuclear dreams for Georgia, hot on the heels of recent reports of environmental injustice in America's poorest communities.
Portland area weather today, possible showers, then mostly cloudy, high near 55. Tonight, patchy fog and mostly cloudy, low around 39. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, then mostly sunny with a high near 59.
But first, we are going to go to regional news from around Cascadia, the northernmost front in Cascadia's realm. The Olympic Games, of course, are slathered all over the mainstream media, but back in the real world, the Games are taking a deadly toll on Vancouver's homeless. The Olympics has escalated the homeless crisis in Vancouver's downtown east side and, in fact, the greater Vancouver area. Condominium development is outpacing social housing by a rate of 3-1. Joining us this morning is Harsha Walia, part of the 2010 Olympic Resistance. We're going to do that story later. We're going to go through it. We're going to talk with Brett Vandenhoevel with Columbia Riverkeeper. We have actually good news on the LNG front. As many listeners know, we've been covering this for a long time. We've spoken about liquefied natural gas and the impact it will take on our environment, on our farms, on our wild woodland areas, on our shores and our rivers. And it's been a back-and-forth battle. Now, the fast-track bill, Senate Bill 1020, has officially died after the special session. After weeks of contacting legislators to oppose the bill, meeting with various elected officials to address concerns, the advocates against liquefied natural gas as part of Oregon's energy future have won one for our team. Joining us this morning is Brett Vandenhoevel with Columbia Riverkeeper to talk about this victory. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Chris.
Thank you so much for being with us today. Well, this is something of a triumph, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really encouraging time. The LNG fast track bill is now dead in the Oregon legislature. It was pushed by some pretty powerful interests, including Northwest Natural and the LNG companies, with lots of money lobbying for this bill. And it's a real victory for grassroots organizing and for the people who are able to defeat this. It's also encouraging that the Senate leadership stood up and really went to bat for the people on this one. Senator Courtney and Senator Devlin decided not to push this bill, which is very encouraging. And Portland's own Senator Jackie Dingfelder was in charge of the committee that was going to hear this bill, and it was never scheduled for a hearing. So Senator Dingfelder also deserves a lot of thanks on this.
So going forward, the liquefied natural gas industry, obviously Northwest Natural, Oregon LNG, they're not going to take it lying down. What do you expect their next move will be, and how will we confront that?
Well, there's so many hurdles to overcome. I mean, one of which is they keep trying to push this bill in the Oregon legislature. They were defeated in 2008, once again defeated this year, and after losing twice, it seems unlikely that they're ever going to get this bill through. In addition to that, there's local opposition. There's federal problems. We have a federal lawsuit with them. All kinds of hurdles these guys have to overcome. So, I'm hopeful even at this point next year, when next year's legislative session comes around, these projects might be completely dead by that point. We might not even have to deal with this again.
Thanks so much for that, Brett. This really is, it's wonderful to be able to share these victories with listeners. It always seems that so much work goes into it and so much energy and time. It's good to see this, that it really does pay off. So thanks to all the listeners, too, who've turned out for various anti-LNG protests, actions, and demonstrations along the road. And be sure to keep doing the same. Thanks so much. My guest has been Brett VandenHeuvel with Columbia Riverkeeper.
The Albina Ministerial Alliance says the Reverend Jesse Jackson will speak at a news conference this evening at 6 p.m. at the Maranatha Church Fellowship Hall in Portland. There will be a rally afterwards, which hardly needs mentioning. Jackson is visiting Portland in response to a police shooting last month. A Multnomah County grand jury last week declined to indict Officer Ronald Fischer in the January 29th shooting death of Aaron Campbell. But the grand jury wrote a letter to Multnomah County District Attorney Michael Schrunk that was highly critical of the Portland Police Bureau for the way it handled the incident. Campbell was unarmed and he was shot in the back.
Well, the only thing that astonishes me here is that there hasn't been more of an outcry on the part of everyone in Portland, not simply from the black community, but that Portland as a whole hasn't stood up and said that they won't accept this outrage and this utter miscarriage of justice. We're going to now try and speak with Harsha Welia. A lot is going on in Vancouver right now, and many of the organizations, the coalitions that have formed to oppose the Olympic Games and to call the attention of the world to the plight of the homeless, the indigenous people, the environmental damage that is being done all in the name of having a good time. It looks like they're not even going to make any money on it, which, of course, is the ultimate irony. Have we got Harsha on the line? We haven't got her on the line yet, but there is, in fact, today going on in Vancouver, and I believe, if not right now, very soon, a press conference. Members of Streams of Justice, as well as the Downtown East Side Women's Center Power of Women Group, successfully has set up a homeless tent village yesterday. And there will be this conference today talking about the issues that confront the poor in Vancouver and how their concerns, their needs, have been swept aside in the celebration, the stampede, to celebrate people basically going down snowy mountains fast. We'll wait and see whether we can speak with her in a little while later on in the program. Liam, what have you got for us next?
It's taken some time, but after 2 years of negotiations, Portland Public Schools teachers and the school board will vote on a new contract offer. The district declared an impasse 2 weeks ago when both sides were far apart on wages, but informal talks took place Friday and Saturday.
Oregon has moved up in the rankings in a new national report that rates how well states use the internet to show where their federal stimulus money is being spent. This seems dubious to me. At least perhaps some of the stimulus money went to pay the people who generate reports like this. Anyway, it's by a group called Good Jobs First. It ranked Oregon 9th nationally, so that means that we are up from number 23 in July. Oregon got high marks for providing an interactive map with significant details on projects. It was criticized for not comparing spending to areas of economic distress. Well, at least some people have jobs, if you call writing reports like this work.
In Washington State, thousands of people spent President's Day in Olympia sending the state government opposing messages on possible tax increases. Anti-tax demonstrators carried signs like, "Deliver us from weasels" in the morning, while backers of tax-supported services said, "Protect our future" in the afternoon. The Democrat-led state legislature plans to close a $2.8 billion budget gap with a combination of higher taxes and spending cuts.
We could combine the two protests and yell, "Protect our weasels." What have weasels ever done to us? In the midst of what could be treated as a national scandal, Oregon is still fighting the good fight against invasive species and apparently making some progress, including new legislation and the creation of an emergency fund. Emergency fund to fight plants? They must be fast-moving plants. The Oregon legislature also passed 11 out of 12 bills introduced to help protect the state from invasive species. What, we're going to make it illegal and then they can't come in? Are we going to issue invasive species identity cards? And if they don't have them and we spot check them, then they're going to get turfed out. One of the tools the state uses in the battle is its 1-866, are you ready for this, invader hotline. It's a toll-free telephone line to report a potential invasive species. Or maybe we could just let the police have at them with assault rifles.
President Obama has announced more than $8 billion of federal loan guarantees to help build the first new nuclear power stations in the U.S. in 30 years. Two new plants are to be constructed in Georgia by U.S. electricity firm Southern Company. President Obama said the plants would be safe and clean and were needed to meet the country's future energy needs. It's an obvious stab at appeasing GOP climate change deniers in the energy industry, but it comes at a time when attention is turning to the stunning economic, social, and environmental damage done by siting hazardous industries such as clean, safe nuclear power in poor communities that cannot afford to say no.
If you want to know exactly what's going on behind the haze of mass media attention, you can go to www.HCN, that's highcountrynews.org. They are doing a whole series on green justice, the impact of siting power plants such as this proposed for Georgia in low-income communities that are unable to defend themselves against the industry. And finally now, the story of the 10 American missionaries who claim to have been taking 33 Haitian children to an orphanage in the Dominican Republic began in a murky world, and it gets a lot murkier. It turns out that the Dominican man, acting as the Baptist missionary's so-called legal counsel, despite the fact that he was not actually a lawyer, has got some problems of his own of a legal nature. Jorge Torres Puello, the advisor to the missionaries, is wanted by Salvadoran authorities, according to the warrant. Torres Puello is accused of running an international sex trafficking ring that lures girls in with promises of modeling jobs overseas. Altogether, he has three outstanding warrants against him, two in the United States, one in El Salvador, all for sex trafficking, human trafficking. And here's the nut of it. Torres Puello contacted the missionaries himself on his own initiative after reading of their problems in the paper. And he even went so far as to offer his dubious services free of charge. Add it all up and see what you get. And now.
This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 16th, 2010. Engineering is Janet Anderson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. I'm Liam Delta.
You've been hearing news and comment from Air Cascadia on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, KBOO.FM on the web. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members, and we will be bringing you more news from Vancouver as soon as we're able to get through to the leaders of the protest against the 2010 Olympics.
Coming up next, Law and Disorder. A critique of the plan to build the new Simon Wiesenthal Museum of Tolerance near an 800-year-old Muslim cemetery in central Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and have a good day.